RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Oh, now this is more like it.
There you go.
It's time for sports.
It's time for MP on the mic.
All right, listen up, class.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always live worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Very special treat today. I've been excited about this all week. Megan can vouch. She's been
going.
All right. Sheena Jeffers is here. Good morning.
Hello.
You wrote a book. We know each other. We worked at the newspaper back in the day. You went to VCU. You were on the Gold Rush dance team back
yes,
in the day.
Yes, I was.
You were just recounting to me. You had three
good days.
Three basketball coaches. You overlapped with Capel, Grant, and Shaka.
That's right.
That's a good...
Just the greats.
That's a good stretch right there. Do you, when you go to the game, when you see the dancers now, like, are you like, I miss that? Or you like, you want to go like... pinch him on the cheeks.
I do miss that. I miss the rush of the lights going down and just like that first song when you're running out there to bring in the VCU dance, like to bring in the VCU dance team and then bring in the basketball team. Like that rush is just, I miss that. That's, it was fun.
All the people good and days. The noise and the, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't replicate that.
No.
The opposite of that might be living in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
So you could speak to all of it. All right, the book is called Living Title, T-I-D-A-L. Congrats.
Thank you.
Tell me about the book.
Yes. So the book started as notes in my journal once I started this huge process of I met a boyfriend and he said, I want to sail around the world. And we all think, okay, I also want to win the lottery. You know, like, great, you're going to sail around the world. But he was serious. And he went and bought a 20-year-old boat that was actively sinking. And still, he was, we're going to sail around the world. And it took a year to fix it up, get it all ready. And then after that, we sailed off for 2 years. We just left with no destinations and also no return date. We were like, let's just keep going.
You sailed. You took off from Norfolk?
Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay. And where'd you end up?
All the way. We went all the way down to Colombia in South America and then came back up to Key West.
Sheena, I'm glad you're here because that sounds really dangerous.
Yeah, there were many things that we ran into, whether it be weather or drug boats, drug trafficking boats.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Just multiple different things. We had whales, and whales can bump into your boat and knock it over.
Not like maliciously.
Right, right. Just accidentally.
I'm not here for whale slander.
They just have it out for her, you know.
They're actually very beautiful, but they don't know that you're, you know, they're just out there swimming. There's also cargo ships, and the boxes of cargo ships fall off a lot. And so they're also out there just floating that could also sink you. So there's many things out there that you have to look out for, yeah.
Oh, dang. Okay. So I have so many questions. How do you eat?
Yeah. Okay, great question, right? Because there's no grocery stores in the middle of the ocean. So when you go out to do long-term sailing, you have to provision, which means you have to go to a grocery store and stock up. And we would always stock up on grains. So we would have rice, bread, but that gets moldy quick. But, you know, if you eat it fast.
All right.
And you can have some fruit, except bananas, because that is bad luck.
Bananas are bad luck on a boat.
Yes.
All right.
But we would stock up on all of these foods. So, like, just grains and also things that we, like, cereals, things that we could just kind of grab and go. And you buy a lot of it. So we would buy $500 to $1,000 worth of groceries, pack it into the boat, lock it down, you know, like, lock it in cabinets and strap it down. And then you go. And then when you start to, you fish.
Okay.
So we were constantly pulling in fish, and we would have fish for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then when you need something, we would capture rainwater to drink.
Okay.
And then when you run out of food, you have to leave the ocean and go back into land. So I always say that the ocean is like the interstate because you just can stay out there on the interstate for as long as you need. But when you need to pull in on an exit, you can come into a town and reprovision.
So you're in Colombia. You just dock the boat,
yeah,
go into town to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Very normal.
And so what people forget is that you have to have a, quote, car. So we have a dinghy. So you have a small boat on your big boat. You drop the dinghy into the water. You get into the small boat to drive the small boat into land to go to the store, walk to the store. Then you bring your groceries, put it back on the small boat, bring the small boat back to the big boat, and then you're back home.
Why can't you do it on the big boat?
Because you can't pull, unless you're going into a marina.
Okay.
You can't just pull a 43-foot boat up to any land.
Oh, it's got to stay out in the water.
Yeah.
So you have a tiny boat inside the big boat.
That's right.
For the grocery runs.
A dinghy. It's our car. A dinghy is a car.
You sounded as you were describing fishing like you never want to eat a fish again.
I actually love fish.
Yeah, okay,
I love
good.
Fish. Yes.
Can you cook on the boat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So there's
is this like there's the show. What is it? Below Deck. Right.
Yeah.
This sound maybe not quite like that.
Not quite like that.
Okay.
But yes, you can. You can cook on there. So you just have, you know, it's just like the tanks that you buy for a grill. You set that up. You turn it on, and you've got fire, so you can boil water. You can make bacon.
Yeah.
You can make eggs. Any of those things, you can make that right there on the boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sheena Jeffers joining us. The book is Living Tidal, T-I-D-A-L. I love having a Richmond author in studio here. Makes us all feel very educated, you know, with the fan book club, right? This is fan book club here. So what do you do in the middle of the ocean?
That's a great question.
You were 2 years?
I was out there for 2 years.
Okay.
And the thing is that you don't realize you have to take shifts. So out in the middle of the ocean, I realized that, wait, we can't anchor the boat.
Not out there.
Because there's not enough chain to reach the bottom of the ocean. And so you have to take shifts. So my partner and I at the time, he would sleep and I would man the boat and we would switch. So you're taking 6 to 8 hour shifts. Some people do it a little shorter, but about 6 to 8 hour shifts of manning the boat while the other person sleeps, and then you switch and.
Oh. We would always somebody make has coffee. To be awake at all times.
Somebody has to be awake at all times. So we Whoa. Would make coffee on the shift change. So I knew if my shift was about to end, I would make coffee for him, and he would wake up, get some coffee, and come out, and then I would go to bed. And then when his shift is ending, he would make coffee, and then I would get up, have some coffee, and we would switch. Yeah.
That's nice.
It's a little about like at the radio. Megan was here at 5 a.m. today. Good for you.
Good
I wasn't.
Yes, thank you.
And somebody
thank
will be you. Here tonight until the squirrels wrap up.
Exactly.
You know? Gotta take
Not
the
me,
shift.
It's Vince.
And somebody's gotta make the coffee.
Someone's gotta make the coffee.
That's my partner.
All right. This doesn't end with you two together, though.
That's right.
Okay. What happened?
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Wait, can I ask real quick, how long were y'all dating before you decided to, like, go on the boat? Was it just, like, the year? Or
That's
like...
a great question. So he bought the boat just a few months into us dating.
Okay.
So it was very new. The relationship was very new. Okay. The idea of sailing was very new.
Yeah.
You know, fixing a broken boat was very new. Yeah. You know, I didn't realize that stainless steel screws cost as much as they do. Like, going everything as, you know, if it has to be water safety, it's very expensive.
Oh, I bet.
And, you know, this was... This part of this book is like we're not millionaires, so we had to make this work on our very small budget.
Yeah.
So he had to sell his house and use a lot of that money to help fund the, you know, repairs and the actual trip. But it is possible if you really, really want it. So yeah, what happened? Let's get into that. basically, we both in the middle of the ocean came to our own self-awareness, you know, of how what we want to do with our lives. We ended up getting engaged in the Panama Canal.
Okay. Aww.
And as we were going through the Panama Canal, we get engaged, but then we realized that we both wanted very different things out of life. And so this becomes quickly the story of a relationship that you want to work so badly. Yeah. But you also both people know that it's just not going to work.
Oh. Yeah.
One of those where you just have to hug each other and walk separate ways and wish each other the best. But your heart is like, we really wanted this to work. Mm. And I think so many people have that relationship. You know, so hand raise.
I was just giving you the three. I'm in a very happy relationship. I just want to be clear.
There's so much symbolism though about that happening in a boat in the middle of the ocean.
Yes.
Yes.
And I talk
it's
a lot
begging for the
about
book to be written.
That. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just it's a time in life when you like want something to happen so badly, and you're just like, well. The sun has to set on this too. Just like the sun sets every day in the ocean, the sun has to set on this too, and that has to be okay, and it still can be beautiful.
And I mean, you're a beautiful writer, obviously. You have a writing background. I'm excited to read you reflect on this. So this comes out soon?
June 25th. It's hitting local bookstores. Nice. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Okay. Living title, TIDAL, with Sheena Jeffers here. And this is going national, worldwide, all the things.
Yes.
You'll be on Oprah someday.
Oh,
and
I hope.
We'll be reflecting on this, absolutely. Where can people go if they want to order it?
Yeah, absolutely. So SheenaJeffers.com, and you can go there if you want a signed copy.
Hey.
Otherwise, you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and soon to be all of the local bookshelves.
I love it. Nice. I used to live down in Chaco back when I was single and lived across from Fountain Books.
Oh, yeah.
Like, life's not better than living right across from a bookstore on a cobblestone street. That's as good as it gets
awesome.
That is a story in and of itself.
Just a radio guy here. We'll ask you about writing the book, and I would imagine that was reliving the whole thing. And you've got the notes, but you're still reliving it.
Yes.
We'll continue the conversation. You saw the hand raise. We do have to step aside for a commercial.
Yes.
We have to pay the bills. We'll be back after this. It's 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide, on the free Odyssey app. We're hanging out with Sheena Jeffers today. Perfect way to start a long weekend here with a fun story of being out on the seas on a boat. And I was just remembering, you worked at the newspaper for a little while. We sent you out to a NASCAR race.
You did. You did.
Because you had never been before.
I had never been to a NASCAR race before.
Which was, I'm just going to say, you weren't the only person who got that. We would occasionally, like, oh, you've never been to a NASCAR race. Like, why don't you go experience a NASCAR race? Because we got you, like, in it.
I was in the pit. I was with Denny Hamlin's wife. Yes, I mean, it was, we were, it was a front view, like, of the real, what happens in the race world.
You leave smelling like NASCAR.
Yes, yes.
That's it. My wife makes me take a shower when I get home from NASCAR before we go to anything else. Yeah. There's a very specific smell of rubber and gas and a lot of sweaty people on a hot day.
But you do kind of leave on a high. You do kind of leave being like, wow, those engines, like, wow, watching them change those tires that fast, like, you do kind of, I was amazed.
I always tell people, you got to go once.
You don't
have to go always, but you got to go once because it's a scene. It's a spectacle.
You know, and now I have a little three-year-old and we watch Cars all of the time.
Lightning
and
McQueen.
I see it with different eyes.
That's not realistic at all. Lightning McQueen could never actually do that.
Yes.
I love it. So the book's living title, we've been talking about living out in the middle of the ocean on a boat. You were in the Panama Canal. Did you cross the Panama Canal?
We did. We went all the way through it, all the way from the Atlantic side to the Pacific side.
How does that work? Because there's like, it's like an elevator, right? It's like a water elevator.
It is like a water elevator. Yeah, you pull your boat in. So first of all, you have to be on their schedule. So you have to go. It's very expensive. And you pay.
Can I ask?
So you pay per, I don't know what it is right now, but you pay per foot of your boat. So we were 43 feet.
Okay.
And so for a boat to go through, I mean, it's going to be, for a private vessel, it's going to be around $3,000.
That's an expensive water elevator.
It's an expensive water
elevator. So you pay your $3,000, you get on the schedule.
For the cargo ships, it's about $1 million.
Yeah.
It's about $1 million.
And you hear like they're lined up. Like they don't have enough Panama Canal.
So you have to go on schedule and you have to line up. They send a captain to put onto your boat. So they will drop a captain off. He gets onto your boat. And then everybody has to get in there, you know, line up. When the captains know the lineup. And you have to throw lines to people who are on the side holding lines because they're going to walk holding your line through as you...
This is a process.
Oh, it's a huge process.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so as you're in, they lock the doors and then they start filling up the water and your boat rises and the people who are on land holding your lines start to pull the line in and then you move to the next lock and then it rises and you move to the next lock and it rises. And, you know, you keep doing that. Then you have to go down through the other locks and then you're going down and the people on land are feeding the line back to you. So it involves a lot. The cargo ships have these little robots that get to carry their lines through because no human could possibly carry it.
Yeah.
So they have, you know, machines. They have little robots that do it. But the private vessels, they have humans. So that's the cost, right? You're paying thousands of dollars to go through because you're also paying the captain. You're paying your line holders. You're paying to use the canal. I mean, it's a big
thing. They don't even let you drive your own boat through.
No.
You got it.
You have to have that captain.
Wow. And that he's just bringing boats through the Panama Canal all day.
Yeah. And
wow.
There's multiple boats going through at the same time because the locks are huge. So you have multiple boats in there at the same time. And so there's multiple captains that are in there doing this. Yeah.
That's crazy. And so you're on the other side and you're in the Pacific Ocean now.
Yes. Then you're in the Pacific Ocean.
And do you just putter around in the Pacific Ocean?
So from there, we just kind of did some adventuring and went and visited some towns over there. And then after we spent some time over there, we came back through.
We'll count how many times I say this today. That seems exceptionally dangerous to just dock a boat in the middle of Latin America and just go walk around. Do you know Spanish?
Very little.
Okay.
Intermediate.
We're like doing charades here?
Yes, it is a lot of... Fortunately, I am... quite dramatic with my hands, so I can act out a lot of things. But I did learn a lot of Spanish. I also carried a dictionary with me everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was everybody friendly? Like, were there any moments where might die here?
It was lovely.
Oh.
It was just lovely, and the families were lovely, and there's a bunch of people out there on the boats that are raising their children on boats. And so that it's a just a community of people who work together and love being out there on the water. And then the towns that are there on the shore, they're very used to sailors, and they're very used to that. So, you know, they were there to give us, they made us meals, they showed us around, they let us use their cars. Gosh, everybody was just so friendly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. The sailing community.
Oh, yes.
How about that? So when you were out on the ocean, did you see other people doing, there's a community of people.
Yeah. It's an interstate.
Living on boats.
Boats out there, just out there going wherever they're planning on going. They're crisscrossing, just like airplanes in the sky. Boats out there just on their own missions.
Did you ever go stir crazy? Like, I need,
great question.
I mean, people.
Yeah. At the very beginning, it takes some time. Like the very first time we left and went out into the ocean, you know, your cell phone dies. So it went down from full bars to 4, 3, 2, 0. Now you're off the grid. So you have no cell service. And then you're just out there. And all you just have water, and you just have sun, and you just have wind. And sometimes you have no wind. Mm. And so you're just sitting out there floating. you wonder, what do I do? What can I do? There's a lot of book reading. There's a lot of dolphin spotting, fishing. We were always fishing. If you do see another vessel come up near you and close enough to be in radio range, then you can talk to them.
Oh, you got a little CB radio thing going. Okay, mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have like a name on the radio?
So you use your vessel name.
Oh, okay.
So you would just, you know, say Seas Life. And if there's somebody, you know, over that you don't know, then you could say, you know, vessel off of my, you know, port side. Like, you know, and then they look around and they're like, that's us. So there is an absolute community out there, both near the land and out in the very middle, 20 miles offshore.
How about that? So people are raising their kids out there. You have pets out there?
Oh, yes. Dogs, cats. I saw, you know, them. They're all out there. They use a little pee pad, throw it on the deck, and the dogs, they're trained to just go on out there and do their business and then come on back in. And they help pull the fish in off the boat. Like, they know how to live the sailing life.
Did you have any kind of satellite phone or internet or anything like that? Like, were you connected?
So we used, we had a satellite phone that we could text on. And then we also, of course, vessels have an EPIRB. So if you were to be in an emergency, if something were to happen and you need immediate assistance, you pull the EPIRB. And wherever the search and rescue team that you are closest to, whether that be in the United States or Colombia, wherever it is, they will come and get you.
Did you ever have to do that?
No. Never had to do that, thankfully. It's also very expensive if you
to get rescued in the middle of the ocean.
It is. And it's you don't have to pay for it as an individual. Of course, that is part of just taxpayers' money that happens.
Oh, wow.
And people rarely use that.
Okay.
But, you know, if you were to need absolute help, it is comforting to know that is available to you.
So you're on a boat. You're doing, I mean, it sounds fun and all that, but you're also discovering yourself and discovering relationships.
Yes.
So now you're older.
Yeah.
You have kids now, and you're writing this book. Tell me about that process of reflecting back on this.
It's really interesting because as the book starts, it's a story about getting rid of everything. So I got rid of mortgages, health insurance, all of these things that were tying me down. And then now I have all those things back again. So it really is the process of understanding that it's okay to leave things if they're not feeling good anymore. And then it's also okay to come back home.
It's deep. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody came up to you and was like, I'm thinking about doing this, what would you tell them?
Absolutely, 100% do it.
No regrets.
Yeah, no regrets. I would just do it. No regrets. If you have the opportunity come up to do something like this, take it, do it, jump, and learn what you're going to learn along the way. And then when it doesn't feel good anymore or you're done with it, give yourself permission to come back home.
I love it. Sheena Jeffers, the book is Living Tidal, T-I-D-A-L. It'll be out in June. Remind people where to go if they want to buy the book.
Yeah. Absolutely. June 25th. It's on either Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or you can go to SheenaJeffers.com to get a signed copy. And soon it will be hitting the shelves of bookstores near you.
This is a good summer read right here.
It's a great beach read.
What's better as a beach read than a nice breezy book about being on the water?
Yes.
You go to the beach, you're like, man, I could just live on the water. But you did it. Two years out on the water.
Yeah.
Did you ever see any pirates?
So we did not see any real pirates, no. But there are definitely...
Johnny Depp.
I hoped to see Johnny Depp. Trust me, I hoped. But we did have a little incident with a radio. It's a little scary. I don't want to give it away. But something happened on the radio that we thought that they were pirates. And I think that they probably were. But I won't tell the rest.
Oh. Ooh, there we go. You go buy the book, Sheena Jeffers, SHEENAJEFFERS. .com living title. She'll join us for one more segment talking about living on the water here. Great topic ahead of a long weekend here as people are getting ready. Nice hot weekend this weekend. Time to get out on the water, right? Swim teams, all that good stuff. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Tempe on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Appreciate y'all joining us. Big weekend ahead. Flying Squirrels baseball lives on the Fan. They come home next Tuesday, 2-week homestand. Get out to the Diamond, support the Squirrels. Congrats to the Richmond Ivy women's soccer team. 2-0, 5-0 victory last night over Charlottesville. Take that, Charlottesville. Where was Sheena Jeffers this morning? She's from Richmond. She's an author. She's Living Title. That's the name of the book. You spent 2 years out in the ocean, and I think we touched on it earlier, the big moment here. You met a boy.
Yes.
He wanted to go live on the ocean.
Yeah.
You went out. You lived on the ocean for 2 years. And then you're on the boat. It's the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you broke up.
And we break up.
Oh, no. Has he read the book?
He has read the book. Okay. And loves the book.
He's okay with the book?
Yes, yes.
Is he still on the water?
He is still on the water and still sailing on the boat. He's doing tours. You can pay to go on tours on the boat now about Folly Beach, cool. South Carolina.
So. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys, what's that like? Because you can't run and hide.
That's right. When you're on the boat, you can't run and hide. You basically have 900 square feet to work through anything you need to work through. So we actually broke up in Panama, and then we had to sail all the way back to the United States. And we knew that was going to take about 2 weeks. And that was a process of how do we sail back as friends and also still manage this boat, right? Because it's a lot of boat. There's a lot of sail that has to go up. There's, a lot of things that have to be managed on the boat. And so we did. We designated our shifts, and we were able to have a lovely time, even though we knew we were at the end of this sail that we were going to be breaking up. So it really was like a final goodbye sail, and we both knew it. We both knew that it was a countdown to the end of our sailing adventure and also to a countdown to the end of us.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good, because I think in my head when I first, heard you were sailing around for 2 years with your ex, I was thinking, oh no, did they break up in the middle of it and it was really bad blood and it was miserable. So it was good, one, that you guys didn't have that much time left, but two, it was sad, but at least you guys were good terms. So.
Yes.
If not, you wouldn't have made it back.
Oh, no. That's right.
Someone would have been pushed off.
Because getting around Cuba and going into Florida is not easy. The way that the land masses are and the way the water moves around the land, it's not an easy trip. So,
Meg, you've been hanging out. I know you're as riveted as I am.
It's so interesting.
The book's Living Title, SheenaJeffers.com. It comes out in about a month. You'll be able to grab it at all the local bookstores. Yep. Would you do it? Would you go out on the water
definitely.
For 2 years?
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on, repeat that, sorry.
You, would you go live on the water for 2 years?
Oh, sorry, for some reason, I misunderstood the question. I thought you were about to ask me if I was going to get the book, and I was like, oh, yeah. No, I would not go live on the water. I would love to go on a cruise or something, but I could not do it for 2 years. I am a city girl, I need to be in the city.
I get it.
You and I share something in common.
Yeah.
We're clumsy.
That too.
What do you do if you get hurt on the boat? You don't have a doctor on the boat.
Yeah.
No, there's no doctor on the boat. You have a basic first aid kit, and you are getting injured. I was learning. I was learning, and you mm-hmm. learn by making mistakes. And so, I had ropes that were pulled out of my hands by the wind, and I, had my hands cut open. I busted my leg on my shin on a wench, and you can take care of those things with basic first aid. If you do have a catastrophic injury, however, you either have to address it as you can and wait, pull off into wherever the closest town is, but that's still going to take some time. And then if you have a really catastrophic injury, then you'd have to pull the EPIRB and someone would have to come get you. So if you're in the United States, that would be the Coast Guard. If you're outside, if you're in international waters, it would be whatever country is closest, their version of the Coast Guard would come and get you.
Wow. And you didn't have that happen, to be
clear. Thankfully, we did not have that happen. No. But there is a scene in the book where there was a storm that we ran into, and you have to tether in because when the boat is really rocking and the wind is really strong and waves are crashing over top of the boat, it is very likely that someone can fall off.
Oh.
Mm. So even though we have little GPS on our life vest, so if you were to fall into the water, we have GPS coordinates of where you're floating. It's still very terrifying to think that you're going to be out there floating with sharks and these sea animals, and it is going to take some time for us to turn the boat around and come and find you, and it's dark and there's wind and rain, and so maybe we don't find you. And so basically you have to tether in, but these are all things that you're thinking about in the moment. You know, it's not as easy as just getting up at night and going to the bathroom because you need to go to the bathroom. You can't, it's not like that. You know, when you're out in the water, you have to be constantly aware.
This sounds half like the most romantic, like nice thing ever, and half just like just white knuckle terrifying.
Yeah. I think that is a giant truth of a lot of things, but especially in sailing, people always thought, oh gosh, it seems so romantic. You're probably just wearing a bikini and laying on the deck and the sun, catching all the sun and the waves and the mist. And I'm like, that is part of it, but it is not all of it. And you know, it's a lot of sweating and putting on a lot of sunscreen or wearing a lot of, you know, hats, and then your hat blows off and now that's gone, and there, you drop things in the water. You know, we would try to make chicken on a little grill and a wave would come and the chicken would fall in the water.
Oh, I'd cry. I'd be done right
all
then.
All this, the breakup, everything. Like, that, no, that's, like, we lost the chicken. That's the saddest chicken thing I've ever heard.
Yes. Well, and then you pour yourself a cup of coffee and then that spills over and, you know, you
just take me out. Like, not my coffee. Right?
You can't cook round foods on a sailboat, like corn on the cob.
That's true.
Wait,
I never even thought about that.
You just can't keep it still, no matter how hard you try.
Funny.
Food with edges only.
Yeah, unexpected problem.
Triangular food only on the boat. So you're journaling through this. You're writing it down as you go.
As I went, that's the newspaper in me.
Yes.
Yeah. I just kept a journal and I just kept writing daily, you know, the crazy things that would happen, whether it be, you know, an injury or our corn falling in the water or, you know, a storm that happened or any realization that I had. Because, you know, when that storm happened, I realized that if my partner had fallen in the water, what was I going to do? I was going to have to take the boat and go take it to a marina somewhere. And everybody knew we left as two people. Yeah. And now here I am coming back as one. And, you know, there's all those novels out there about, like, oh, so you push the person overboard. And, you know, that is not what would have happened, you know. But I think that people don't think about those things when they're, you know, sailing.
Yeah.
Think about sailing.
At what point were you like, this is a book? Like, I got a story to tell here.
So I think when I came back into the United States, I just had this journal full of notes. And I said, okay, well, I have to start putting it in some kind of order. And I actually started doing it by themes, you know, these ideas themes that came up. And it was going to originally be called Lessons of the Ocean. Mm. And then I just talked to some people. I workshopped it. And they said, you know what, Sheena? You know what I really want to know? Is I just want you to go from point A to point B. I want to go on the boat with you.
Yeah.
So I rewrote the book entirely, started back from the beginning, and then just put it in order chronologically. And that's when I realized this is a book. Because this is a story that follows more than one arc. It follows my, you know, personal growth arc. It follows my learning how to do something new, like sailing.
Yeah.
And then it also follows the love story that started, grew, and then faded away.
Well, I feel like it's a real, like, especially with the love story, it's very much so a test of the relationship. You are either going to grow so much closer together and be super madly in love for the rest of your lives, or, you know, you just, it's a make or break.
You know what? In the sailing world, they say that 1 year on a boat together is equal to 40 years of marriage.
It's like a dog ears thing.
Yes, and time actually, is different.
I know a couple that they didn't do like that dramatic of a thing, you know, sailing the boat and everything, but they were both performers, and they were dating for a few years, and they went on a cruise together and did some of the performances, and they were on there for a while. They ended up getting married. But of course, it was a totally different thing. Like the cruise, they had everything taken care of for them, you know, so.
They weren't out there fishing.
They were not out there fishing and losing their corn.
Yes.
Wait, so can I ask like a really quick question, like a silly question?
Yeah.
Okay. So like obviously like you come back to the shore and you're looking forward to seeing friends and family and sleeping in your own bed and stuff. What is like a silly thing? Like for me, I would look forward to going to Starbucks or Target, you know, like what is like a silly thing? Okay.
I really was looking forward to Starbucks. Okay. There are not Starbucks out in the middle of the ocean. I feel like I have to say that because I thought maybe there would be.
Just FYI.
I did miss Starbucks. But a weird thing was my brain had just transitioned to learning how to live life on the water.
Yeah.
And so the way that you wash dishes out in the middle of the ocean is that you pump with your foot a pedal and water gets pumped in from the ocean and you wash your dishes.
Yeah.
When I came back into the United States, I went to go wash dishes at a house on land, and I went to go open I went to go look for the pump to pump the water.
Yes.
It's like I had forgotten that all I do is just turn the spigot and the water comes out.
That's
I had totally forgot. And so I had to recalibrate my brain to land living because I was just so used to we were out there on solar panels. So if I needed to charge my laptop, for example, to type in notes for this book, I had to wait for a sunny day because if it was if it was rainy or cloudy, then we needed the energy that we had to power the boat, and I couldn't pull extra energy for a cell phone or a laptop.
Yeah.
Did you work? Like, were you making money at the time, or was it go until the money runs out?
Yeah. So before we left, somebody had said, "Well, Sheena, what is your skill?" And I said, "Well, I teach yoga." And they said, "Well, that's a skill that travels."
Okay.
And I ended up teaching yoga at every place that we stopped.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was people would pay either money or they would barter with a service.
Yeah.
So we had somebody who took a yoga class of mine, and he was a specialty diesel engine expert. And we actually needed his expertise. And so he came on over as payment for my yoga classes that he took every morning. He came over and fixed our engine.
That's cool.
Whoa. Like that's old school. I love that.
Yeah.
See, like you could sing. You've got skills.
Yeah, that's a skill that travels. Yeah.
I don't have skills. So I
just music for food. That's what I'm doing this Sunday.
I love it. Sheena Jeffers, thank you so much for swinging by today.
This is
wonderful.
Welcome. This is fun.
When people read the book, what do you want them to come away thinking or feeling?
That's a great question. I want people to finish this book as they close it and set it down, and I want them to say, "Wow, I want to do something big, bold, and brave. Like I just want to go out and do something and it doesn't have to look like sailing. Something big, bold, and brave can just be, you know, the fact that you're going to go take a dance class that you've never taken before or go see NASCAR that you've never seen before. I mean, it can be something that's just different. Right, just doing something that's different than what you do every single day. I want people to like take that from this book when they read it and say, you know, I don't have to do the same routine that I do all of the time. I can shake things up a bit and let's go shake it up.
I love it. Let's go shake it up. Sheena Jeffers, the book is Living Tidal, T-I-D-A-L. It comes out in 1 month. All the bookstores, all the places, and the website is
SheenaJeffers.com, and you get a signed copy.
Get a signed copy and go order that. Appreciate you taking some time with us today. We are crosstalk with AWOD after this. He's at River City Roll on Fridays. He rolls. We'll go down to the bowling alley, check in with Adam on the other side of this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Friday morning, what's up? Richmond Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic, leading you in to a three-day weekend. A little bit of a rainy morning. That's all right. We'll power through it here. We'll find a way. Got Megan here finishing off the week. Always love having Megan along for the ride. Gary Hess joins momentarily. You've been here for hours.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing like an eight-hour shift this morning.
This is the double.
Yep.
You were on Mix this morning.
I was. 5 a.m. with Jeff. He's always super nice to work with.
That guy wakes up. 10 out of 10, dude. Excitement level. Yeah.
He really does. I remember when my friend Ashley, the producer here, my favorite Ashley, She worked with him before I worked with him, and she literally told him, because he's very like enthusiastic, very energetic in the morning. I, on the other hand, am not.
Yeah.
I'm not a morning person. You probably know this. You know, I show up at 9 a.m. and y'all are fine. I'm still recovering. And Ashley literally told him, she's like, look, don't scare my girl off. Like, she's not, she's going to come in. She's not going to be talking.
Uh-huh.
But I think the thing is, like, one, Jeff's super kind, super nice to work with. He's always teaching me something. I love working with him. And two, I am able to mask the tiredness. I can act it out.
It's not a video medium, you know? Nobody. No. That's the night. I'm wearing a t-shirt and a hoodie in here every day. That's one of the nice things about being in radio.
You don't have to be full makeup and everything. You know, you just got to sound awake.
Absolutely. The double, also what Kyle Larson will be attempting this weekend. He will attempt to become the fifth driver to finish both the Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 in the same day. I'm not a math expert, which is why Gary Hess is here. Oh, wait a second. Uh-oh. We have two non-math experts, but that's...
It was my understanding there would be no math.
That's 1,100 laps of racing right there.
1,100 miles.
1,100 miles. Thank you. That's right. It's the thing where if it's
600 laps.
600 laps. 1,100 miles. Where at Richmond, the 500 means laps. But at the longer tracks, the 500 means miles.
Correct.
Daytona 500 is like 250 or 200 laps.
200 laps, 2.5 mile track.
Yeah, there we go.
At Charlotte, it's a mile and a half track, 400 laps, 600 miles.
I respect, and it looks like it's going to rain there and he's not going to get to do the double. I respect the attempt there. Because you see the drivers after those races, they are drained. Like they lose 10 pounds during a race because of the heat and the intensity. To sign up to do that twice in a day, that's something.
I've been trying to remember who did it to the most effective success.
Tony Stewart.
Tony Stewart would be the one that comes to mind.
Only driver, I've got it in front of me, only driver to finish the double on the lead lap in both races. Was on the lead lap at Indy and then lead lap again at the Coca-Cola 600.
There you go.
600's always seemed like a lot to me. That's an aggressive amount of racing.
It is. It is a lot of racing, and Charlotte can have long green flag runs, which is not the most riveting racing that there is.
I don't think they're trying to make it riveting. It's endurance.
It's a test of endurance.
Yeah,
it's not like the 24 hours of Daytona, but it's
yeah.
It can feel like that. It is a great day. For race fans, it's a great day because you start the day with the Formula One race at Monaco.
Yes.
Which is one of the signature events on the Formula One schedule. And then the 500 and then the 600. So
That'll be a ton of fun. It's I wonder, could you do the double in Monaco and Charlotte with the timing lineup? I'd be curious. Now, obviously, that's Formula One's its own world.
Right.
There aren't a lot of Formula One NASCAR crossover drivers.
And then the other thing is, it's not like a guy can just decide to, I think I'll go try to qualify at Monaco and get
yeah.
in the race.
Yeah.
You know, that's, yeah, it's not really an open.
Spots are restricted.
Exactly.
Gary Hess joins us on Friday mornings. We'll get you up to speed on everything going on in the world of sports. Congrats to the Richmond Ivy. Now the most successful sports team in Richmond history by winning percentage. 2-0 all time as a franchise.
You can't do any better than that percentage-wise.
It's mathematically impossible, Gary. 5-0 win over Charlottesville last night. Take that, Charlottesville.
That's right.
Richmond Ivy's rolling.
It's a woodshed job, 5-0.
took him to the woodshed last night. You've called some games like that. I know you've been on the call. That's where late in the game you're talking about everything else.
That's where you're thankful about that, you know, to have a color analyst who's got some colorful stories to tell.
An NFL game like that, let's see what's up ahead.
I still remember 2006 regional final. Coach Rinaldi and I, may he rest in peace, down at Matoaca, and it's 35-10 at halftime, and he's mumbling and grumbling. We had done the division a different regional final, Highland Springs Verona, which is at 1:00 that afternoon. We did both games. And so it was a long day. We get to halftime. We're way down in Matoaca, and it's 35-10. He's like, oh, rah, 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 rah. Well, and so he's like, I'm going to have to tell some story. Well, Deep Run came back and won that
Ooh.
Game, 41-38. And so, yeah, it was
never leave early. Never leave early.
I won't say never, but make sure. But you have to make sure. Yeah. So anyway,
if they can score that many points and a half, we can score that many points and a half, right? that's the mentality.
That's right.
Coming out of the locker room.
Never give up. Never surrender. That's exactly right. So
I've been in a lot of early departing crowds that end up regretting it, and I've been a part of a lot of early departing crowds that don't regret it and make their way out to the highway safely and don't miss a thing.
I remember. I can remember games. I was at a Virginia-Carolina game that I really remember in 96 when it was 17-7, clocks running out. Virginia showed no signs on offense. And Carolina's inside the 10 going in to score again.
Yeah.
And people are starting to leave. It's like 6 minutes to go in the game.
Sure.
And Antoine Harris picks one off in the end zone, runs it back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
People are running back into the stadium.
That was the rain game with JMU and UVA. This year, they cleared the stadium for lightning, and then they just invited the community, like, hey, like, we're just going to open the doors. Come in, watch football.
If you'd like to watch some of the game, come on down.
Yeah, in the neighborhood, right? Drop on by. Yeah, why not?
Otherwise, it's going to be friends and family only.
Yeah, I've been a part of some of those crowds,
too. Me, too.
Your crowd in Bowie last night, 1,665, to watch the Bay Sox and the Squirrels. John Michael Bertrand, hitless for six innings. Another no-hitter. That's not the first time he's done that this year. Not a no-hitter, but a no-hit start, whatever they call it in the minor leagues.
Right.
Six innings. No hits. Unfortunately, Bowie rallies for the 2-1 victory. Do we have John Michael Bertrand queued up here? We ready to rock here on the Squirrels clip?
We do. I can pull that right up for you.
All right. Giddy up. Here's the Squirrels update from Trey and Blaine. You may want to turn that down. That may blast your ears out there, Gary. Let's put on your
headphones. Wagner takes a few steps off of second. The pitch. Ground ball hit hard up the middle. It's off of Bertrand's cleat. He picks it up, fires to first, and gets the out. Wow, what a play by John Michael Bertrand. First he had to avoid a screamer. It hit off of his cleat. Then right behind the pitcher's mound, he gathered it and got the out to end the inning.
There we go. That's Blaine, right? I struggled to distinguish between my Blaine and Trey.
Blaine.
I'm getting there. You know these things better than the rest of us.
I do, because I usually do like one or two games with them per week. They're fantastic to work with.
Yeah, that was Blaine on the call. Yep. Two hitter by the Squirrels. Unfortunately, two runs allowed. Bowie wins 2-1. Squirrels now 19-23. Back home next week, Friday night is fan night at the Diamond.
Hey.
2 week homestand.
Wednesday night. Wednesday night's fan night at the Diamond.
Right.
Show up Wednesday. You can show up Friday too.
Yeah,
we won't be there, but you could be there. I might be there. I don't know. I like
support
baseball.
The girls.
Yeah. Sometimes we drive by. 2 week homestand. We love that.
2 week homestand. That that plays after having recently the 2 week road trip.
The 2 week road trip is a slog for those guys. I'll tell you that. That's week two on the road with the buses. There's not much fun left to be had there.
Zero fun, sir. Yes.
All going nuts, no having fun.
They were going nuts. Yeah.
By the way, quick shout out. so at the risk of sounding immodest, you and I have accomplished a few things in our careers, right?
Agreed.
But, neither one of us have ever sang at the Diamond.
Isn't that wild?
Isn't that amazing?
Megan was the singer at the Diamond.
How about
The pregame band there in the, what would you call that? The atrium area, I guess. It's not an atrium.
Concourse.
But the concourse. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
Reliable sources tell me she crushed it.
I heard that as well.
Yeah, the word's getting around.
I heard A plus.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
So, anyway, I just had to give her a shout out. First chance I've gotten. I mean, we've been put in our place, Michael.
Should we let her ride high, or do you want me to burst the bubble a little bit?
We can burst it a little
bit.
What? Because Wicker told me something this morning.
Oh, boy. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
She doesn't know how to ride a bike.
What?
I've been exposed on Mix 98 and 910 The Fan now. That's why I'm a musician.
Okay, we got to fix that. We got to fix that. it's not
scary.
Too late.
I'm just a girl.
Gwen Stefani over there.
Yes. Exactly, musician.
Joins very esteemed company that includes my brother, who also does not know how to ride a bike.
Okay.
I tried to fix that and was unable to.
Right.
So I'm not going to be the one to make the attempt here.
So I got nothing for that.
No.
My 4-year-old grandson can't ride a bike without training wheels yet. So
there you go. They can go out there and ride together.
Right.
but hopefully more gigs in the future at the Diamond. I think it was well received. And she got free food. She got free squirrely fries.
It's always a party.
I mean, what more do you need right
what
there?
More, I was just going to say.
What more do you need?
That is, that's absolutely, that's win.
All right, one more baseball item before we take the break. We'll be monitoring this today. VCU against Richmond, 11 a.m.
Can I correct you on that?
Have we moved it?
3 p.m.
3 p.m. now, thank
you. The 7 o'clock game last night was postponed, so that's now the 11 a.m. game.
We will not be monitoring that game because it will not start until 3 o'clock.
That is correct.
That's the big one, though.
That is, how huge is that? And St. Louis, the number one seed, got knocked out yesterday.
So the winner of VCU Richmond has to win one more game
and has to
make
get
the NCAA
twice.
Tournament. The loser of the VCU Richmond game has to win three times to make the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Massive swing.
So, yeah. So,
high leverage situation.
So the 3 o'clock game today is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Because whoever wins will be in the absolute huge position of sitting and waiting to see who comes out of the loser's bracket will then face the loser of the Richmond VCU game, and then the winner of that game has to beat the team waiting twice.
That's at the new Capital One complex up in McLean in Virginia, right off the Beltway there. They have their own Wegmans. That's what you need to know about that complex.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you. They have their own Wegmans.
That's pretty sweet right there.
Now, I've been to Capital One's headquarters here in Goochland. They have their own Chick-fil-A. Or at least did for a while.
Right.
That's a pretty good pull.
It's not bad.
The internal Wegmans, though,
That's restaurant quality right there.
That's living good. Gary's going to hang around for another segment. We're off and running. It's the Friday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
I absolutely love this song.
Yay! We aim to please. Megan's got the picks over there. So
Pete Townsend.
Good work. Did you see Apple's list, top 100 albums of all time?
No.
They convened a panel to name the top 100 albums of all time. That was...
Of any genre?
Any genre, any time, ever. You could probably grab a few of the top five, I would think. Not top five.
Sergeant Pepper.
They went with Abbey Road.
Abbey Road, okay.
They went with Abbey Road at three. That's a matter. I'll leave that to the
Slippery One Wet.
No, Michael Jackson's Thriller at number two. Abbey Road number three. Purple Rain was four.
Purple Rain is a great album.
Well, there you go. Fourth best of all time, according to Apple. Number one. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill, who's of the Fugees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, interesting poll.
Interesting poll, absolutely. I gave Bob Dylan some shade on this program when we were going over that the other day. So I heard some things about that later. You can't Bob Dylan in the protected class. I can't talk smack on Bob Dylan. Rumors by Fleetwood Mac, Nevermind Nirvana. OK Computer, Radiohead, The Blueprint, Jay-Z. Yeah. There you go. Top one. What's up?
Can we circle back to Bob Dylan?
It's
his birthday.
Today is Bob Dylan's birthday?
Today is his birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Bob Dylan. Hang on. Let's all guess how old Bob Dylan is.
Oh.
Because he's very old. I feel comfortable saying that without offending
large
portions of the audience.
He's very old. I am going
I
to
saw
say...
Bob Dylan like 20 years ago. I was like, Bob Dylan's kind of old. And
now it's 20 years later. I am going to.
How old does somebody have to be to call them very old
so,
and
so
not
do you
be?
Know already?
I know already.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to say 82.
I like that. He's cleared 80 for sure. Give me 85.
You're closer. 83.
Okay. Yeah, very nice.
Plus, I didn't go over, so.
There you go. Price is Right rules in effect. little mountain climber yodeling up. He didn't fall over.
Oh, goodness. Have we ascertained if there is any TV coverage of the Atlantic 10 baseball tournament?
The VCU game today. Now, they're streaming. I don't think that... I don't think they're broadcast. It's so hard. Like, what is TV coverage these days?
I understand.
As a conceptual question.
Is it unannouncer TV coverage?
Oh, so I get what you're saying there.
I mean, what I'm saying, it's streaming. I would say streaming. So there's a video feed, but is it an anchored video feed, or is it like that Saturday NFL game decades ago where there are no anchors?
It looks like it is announced on ESPN Plus.
Okay.
So I can't vouch for that because I can't pull it up right now. But
okay.
It ESPN Plus usually is announced.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's an ESPN Plus situation going on here. Are there more announcers needed than ever before with all these ESPN Plus? It sure feels like it, right?
I will say this. Based on some of the games I've seen in the last month or so,
yeah.
There's certainly a need for more good announcers.
Sure. Well, there's no way that's paying enough to be a full-time gig. There's no way somebody's full-time job is...
I've watched some of the ACC tournament on the ACC network, and with Wes Durham not being there,
yes.
it's not great.
We love Wes.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Yeah.
He is a great dude. Second of all, he's really good at what he does.
Yes, he is. Atlanta Falcons radio voice as well, in addition to his many. That always impresses me, the guys who, like, here's Ian Eagle, he's calling the Final Four for CBS, and also he calls every Brooklyn Nets game.
Right.
Like, okay, great.
That's right.
Yeah, he's got all the jobs. He's got all the jobs happening. That's it.
Sorry about that.
It's a very informal program, Gary. Gary's phone. I don't even know if people heard Gary's phone go off or not. I don't know. It's a very.
I'm half deaf and I heard it. So
it's a very informal program around here.
But I think of Gene Deckerhoff, who for years was. You're looking at me like you don't even know who that is.
Yeah, no, sorry.
So Gene Deckerhoff is decades-long voice at Florida State, football, basketball, and for decades the voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Now, Florida State, you got baseball, too, so that's a full three-season situation. Because a lot of the college announcers just do football and basketball.
Gene Deckerhoff, in about a two-year span there, won a college football national title in January of 2000 and a Super Bowl title.
I don't know Gene Deckerhoff, these names, but I am old enough to remember the ACC basketball tournament when literally all the crews would call all the games all day long.
Most of them.
Well, yeah.
Florida State never did that.
No.
All the ones in Carolina, UVA, Maryland was still in the league, they would do the whole tournament.
Detour into a Florida State story briefly because they were at the ACC tournament this year. Cowan Gates sent us up there to do the show.
Right.
It was great. Jameer Watkins, VCU kid, was on Florida State, had a great game, scored his 1,000th point. I'll go interview Jameer. And I went down to the locker room, and nobody was there. Like, I asked the guy at the door, like, can I come in? And he goes, what are you doing? I said, media. He goes, I think so. Let me find out. And you go, like, I can wait, you know, it's not, you know, if the coach is talking to them or whatever, they find the SID. Turns out they have literally no media there. They just didn't expect any media members to be there. I went into the locker room. I interviewed Jameer. That was the only interview a Florida State player did aside from out there on the court.
Wow.
Yeah. And just me in the locker room. If you've ever been in one of those tournament locker rooms, like when UNC's playing, you can't move in there because the whole state's in there. Yeah.
Exactly. I will say this very quickly. I won't go into excruciating detail about it, but
do if you want to, though.
No, so you talk about the networks doing the whole ACC tournament.
Yeah.
I got to be part of that once.
Hey.
For the, of all, the Wolfpack Network.
Okay.
I was covering the tournament for the old Virginia News Network, just there doing my thing, covering UVA and the whole tournament. And so this is the 9-team configuration. So there's the play-in game on Thursday night. Friday morning, 7 o'clock, my phone rings in the hotel room. And the third guy on the NC State Network has gone ill.
Oh.
And they asked me if I'd be willing to fill in. I had to get somebody to cover all my stuff I was doing.
Sure.
And
that's worth doing, though.
I was like, I'm in. I'm going to work it out. So I did pregame, postgame, between games, halftime. And occasionally when the color man had to leave, I'd jump in, do a little color, and basically did all four games on Friday, two on Saturday, and the championship game on Sunday. And that was the year that Dean Smith and Rick Barnes nearly came to blows at midcourt.
Ooh.
During the late game on Friday night.
Okay.
So, yeah, so Gary Hahn and I are on the call when that happened. So
spicy.
That was pretty cool.
If there's one thing I want out of this realignment of college sports, I want to make those things mean something again. And not that they don't. Everybody wants to win. But small, regional, rivalry-based tournaments.
Right.
There's no juice, you know.
Absolutely.
Looking at these, you know, matchups for this year, Rutgers against USC, right? It's just, there's no, it doesn't get me worked up. Like I wanna really hate the other team. That's why we love college
sports. And here's
what's
funny about that. That leads me into one thing I want to mention before I go, is that the lacrosse Final Four this weekend, UVA is playing Maryland. And UVA and Maryland haven't been in the same conference for over a decade now, but they still hate each other.
It's so true.
It really is.
The blood's thicker than the water, whatever that saying is.
Yeah. UVA, Maryland in the lacrosse Final Four this weekend. It's like when UVA stunned Johns Hopkins, like, who are they playing next? Oh, Maryland. Great.
Memorial Day weekend's a great sporting weekend.
Absolutely.
We mentioned the baseball. We haven't even mentioned the lacrosse yet.
Right.
So much good stuff going on.
And quick shout out to Randolph-Macon, CNU, and Lynchburg playing in the Division III Super Regional in baseball this weekend.
Hey, hey.
And my question to you is this, and you know I've become an expert with CNU, and I follow Randolph-Macon a lot too because of what I do, but is it me or are Randolph-Macon and Christopher Newport good in everything?
Yeah, it's the Stanford of Division III. Yeah, every time there's a tournament of some sort, Stanford's in it.
That's right.
They're the Stanford of Division III. But center of the universe, Stanford of Division III. That's enough to fill a water tower
right there.
That's a good water tower. Gary, we always appreciate the time. If you make it out to the links, good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much. You guys enjoy the 3-day weekend, and let us all remember what Monday's holiday is really all about.
Absolutely. Thank you to all who have served, and especially those who made that sacrifice.
Amen.
We are back with more after this. 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Putting a bow on the week. Fun week. Thank you to Megan for sitting in this week. Hazel's back next week. That'll be exciting, too. AWOD Radio up next. Grant and Danny, of course, squirrels all weekend right here on The Fan. We won't be here Monday. I think that goes without saying. We'll see you on Tuesday. Plenty to wrap up from the weekend. And I don't think we're in Ashburn next week. I think 2 weeks until the next show where we're up doing live from Ashburn. So we did that this week. That was fun. Lots of fun. It was a good week overall. I said good week. Thank you to Sheena Jeffers for dropping by. The book Living Title is going to be a ton of fun. I will be reading that this weekend. Should be a great time as we all go to the pools and get out on the water, do the things. Right now, though, we got to slide over to River City Roll because our guy, Adam Epstein, AWOD Radio, is locked in live and local for the next 3 hours. Adam, what is up?
Yo, yo, what's up, Michael?
Would you live on a boat for 2 years?
No. No chance. I need the internet.
VCU baseball in action today against the Spiders. I mean, on top of Max Schulger returning, I feel like it's been a heck of a week for the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not over this whole Max Scioga situation. We're going to get into it a little bit on my show, just like what had to have gone on behind the scenes that led to VCU stepping up their NIL offer, or that led to Villanova dropping down their NIL offer, and before you know it, Max Scioga will be back in Richmond wearing a VCU jersey.
I know you'll go deep on this in the show. You got 3 hours. I got 5 minutes here, but Villanova, explain this to me, how this is okay, right? Because I think we've all heard the same version of events, which is he was promised a certain amount of money to play for Villanova, and then got there, and then all of a sudden that number was different, which is not... And I don't want to, like, this isn't about Villanova being bad people, although it can be if you want it to be. This is happening in college sports right now. There are no rules. Like, how is this okay?
I don't know. You know, I mean, that's why I come to Professor Phillips for these kind of things. I mean, you had the quarterback that sued the coach at Florida, right? I mean, how is that situation not going to keep popping up in basketball and other sports as well? I mean, you know, this is what happens when it's the Wild Wild West. I don't understand how Jamari Thomas did the same thing to VCU and then went to South Carolina and basically said, hey, can you up what they're offering me? And that's exactly what it seems like happened, right? Is that VCU offered X, and then other schools said X plus Y. And then same with, you know, Max Scioga, he was offered Y, and then they said, no, well, we can't offer you that anymore, but we can get you to this number. And he went back to Ryan Odom or VCU to match. I mean, you don't know. And here's the other thing is, I don't think we'll ever find out that, like, it won't ever be transparent where you find out each player's making. And part of me thinks we shouldn't know. Like, I don't want to know how much Joe Bamisil's making. You know, I don't want to know how much Zeb Jackson is making. I want them to be a team, not like one individual is making more than another.
I think multiple things can be true here, right? Because anytime you come out against any of this, oh, you don't want the students to get paid. Like, I think you can believe both things. One, and I do believe this, that the student athletes, and particularly men's and women's basketball and football in the forefront of this, they deserve some of the money they generate, right? Like VCU, these basketball players, they go play at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday night in Olean, New York. And the only reason they do that is because CBS is paying a lot of money to put it on CBS Sports Network. And I think it's insane to suggest that the players who inconvenience their lives to go up to Olean, New York on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. should not get a portion of the money generated from that. Like, I think that discussion is over now, and people understand, yes, like, college football, we're asking them to play 16 games now instead of 11. Like, there is a physical toll on that. They deserve compensation because those extra 5 games were created for the sole purpose of making money. They should be cut in on that money. And also, the way we're doing this is insane and makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I'm also old school, though. I mean, I don't think they really need to be cut into the money until they've done something for the school, which is why I've said you cannot pay people until they've finished their entire freshman year and have actually done something for the school, created a name, image, and likeness that started this whole NIL discussion. You are no name, you are no image, you are no likeness if you've not played one snap or shot one shot on the court. And so that's why I've always said, look, that first year, they're getting a scholarship, they're getting free food, they're getting room and board. I mean, come on now. After that, then fine, pay them $1 million. But that first year, you have not really created an NIL, in my opinion.
You know my solution to this, and it's got nothing to do with the kids. It's that the adults need to quit grabbing for dollars. The adults need to quit agreeing to more games, more TV games at bad times. They need to be working to take the money out of this instead of pumping the money into this, a smaller pie to divide. Because I fundamentally think people go to a VCU basketball game, they would rather watch them play James Madison, Old Dominion, William and Mary. Got Sheena here. She remembers the good old days, Old Dominion. Like, what was it? Blaine Taylor? Like, he had the mustache. Cartoon villain. Perfect rivalry. VCU against Old Dominion. Like, they would rather watch that than watch VCU against Loyola of Chicago. No disrespect to Loyola of Chicago. Good basketball team. Doesn't get your blood pumping. You know, this money grab has taken away a lot of what we used to really enjoy about those rivalry games.
Yeah, and don't get it twisted. The money-hungry teams are the bigger schools and the bigger conferences, and it's their fault. and it's hurting the mid-majors like VCU.
All right, A-Wide Radio, 3 hours live and local from River City Roll on Fridays. He rolls. What do we have on tap today?
I'm trying to get 175. I know I'm going to have Stubb on the other side of the glass betting against me. You know, I'm going to use that as motivation. We got Frank Maloney and talk a little UVA baseball at 12:30. We'll go on the fast break with AWOD, talk all things NBA at 1:15.
For being a guy who has your back, the amount of Stubb disrespect from the alley, like 4 days a week, Stubb comes in here, and anytime I try to introduce any AWOD slander, he shuts it down right away. That's his guy. He goes to bat for you. But on Fridays, nobody is a bigger AWOD hater than Stubb.
Yeah, I know. Believe me. It's hard to do the show when I'm on remote and he's in location. He's got to juggle the commercials and the traffic report and the live reads. I know Stubb works hard. I know.
Hardest working man in the business. We love it. 175 today. I like it. Do we have Trey and Blaine lined up? Because we threw down a challenge to the Flying Squirrels radio team, a bowling match, us against them on one of these Fridays. We got to get that lined up.
You know, you're the one with Trey every week. You're going to have to call him out on air.
Absolutely.
Because I have had several conversations with Blaine about this. They haven't picked a date yet. You know, I know these baseball guys, they work every day. They could take one Friday off and challenge us in a bowling challenge.
I love it. We'll get Stubb out there, too. We need a producer's bowling challenge as well. We're always the ones getting to have the fun. And Megan and Stubb over here mashing buttons. We need to get them out for a bowling challenge as well. We'll figure this out. AWOD Radio up next, 3 hours live and local. We're back Tuesday. Everybody, have a great weekend out there. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.